And now for the first session of our convention, we have Brother Alan Kaufman. Brother Alan is an elder of the Allentown Convention. And Brother Alan is a quiet and retiring type of brother, but yet full of the Lord's Spirit, and he has much to offer. Brother Alan.
Thank you, Brother Ken. Retired I'm not yet, but hope to be someday. This morning, I'd like to talk to you about the peace of God. And I think I'm going to need someone over at the computer just to tap the keypad whenever I need a new slide. But leave that one up for now. Consider peace, brethren. Mankind has long had a tendency to equate wealth with peace. However, that has proven to be a fleeting ghost, reserved for a relatively few down through the ages. We consider this to be a self-centered peace at best, a reliance on the things of the earth and of our ability to provide for the flesh. With the advent of the 9-1-1 tragedy, America has determined that we must destroy those who would spread terror around the world so that we can once again live in peace. Without stopping to consider that this scenario has been played out on the stage of life countless times down through history. John 14:27 tells us that there is no peace outside of the Lord's provision. Therefore, we want to look to the Lord for our peace. Reprint 5431 entitled Peace of God and Peace with God, a Relationship, provides an interesting definition. Peace with God is a reconciliation to God. Give the next slide, please. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. To have come into a condition of peace with God means that one has become reconciled to God. And this implies a former condition of alienation, of enmity through wicked works. Peace with God, then, means this estrangement from God is a thing of the past, and one is now in harmony with God. This is a step of faith and is accompanied by a reformation of our life. Next slide, please. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. The peace of God is more than peace with God. The peace of God rules the heart even amid turmoil and trouble. It is an inward tranquility and a rest which is the direct result of a close personal relationship of our soul with God. If we would have the peace of God reign in our hearts, we must never let go our anchor, nor suffer Satan's deadliest strife to beat our courage down. The language of our hearts should always be, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. With this faith, the peace of God ever abides. Then what is this peace that we so ardently strive for? Next slide, please. Peace is defined as a state of quiet or tranquility, freedom from disturbance or agitation, a calmness, undisturbed, never agitated. I recently asked several brethren what gives them peace, and I've got a number of different answers from them. But Brother Martin Poors responded to me simply, I believe. Next slide, please. We which have believed do enter into rest. Faith, brethren, is the basis for rest. We are comforted and enter into rest by knowing and believing the plan for all mankind. The scripture implies that the rest is gradually coming to us because we are entering into that. It is a process, and it is a process through which we build our belief structure. Therefore, rest is something we acquire in degrees as we continue our walk. As our faith grows daily, as we believe, and hopefully we'll reach that peace sooner rather than later in our Christian walk. This morning we'll examine this developmental relationship, and we'll look to examine examples of those who have had this peace in the past. Consider some of those in the truth that you have known that have always seemed to be at peace, even amidst the turmoil of daily life. Those who've been at peace, especially in the spiritual fellowship that they have one with another. I've known no one in my life who has ever portrayed a more peaceful demeanor than my wife Kathy's grandmother, Sister Eva Sieske. It was her father, J.L. Fried, who was very active in the truth movement at the pastor's in the pastor's day. J.L. kept in his parlor a journal. And then when the brethren would come to visit and serve, they would sign this journal. And it's within the pages of that journal that great peace resides. We'll be sharing some of those excerpts with you as we travel back over a century. In the days when Pastor Russell and many others traveled some 40 miles south of the Bible House in Pittsburgh to witness and to serve in Fried, PA. The journal, interestingly enough, was saved by being stored in an old trunk in Sister Eva's garage when her house burned down to the ground and they lost everything. So it's a privilege to be able to share some of those things with you this morning. The other picture that you see there is of the Associated Bible Students Convention, Bowling Green, 1949. The two individuals here on the left in the striped dress and just to her reverse is Eva's sister Sally and her daughter Anne. Interesting, brethren, isn't it, how the truth follows in family lines many times. Next slide, please. This is an excerpt written by Robert H. Hirsch. Some of you may have known him. Sister Rose, I believe, died some years ago, and Benny knew her as well. This is an excerpt we call the Watchtower Horses excerpt, and I'd like to read that to you. This was February 20th, I believe, 1907. Enjoyed the ride behind Brother Fried's Watchtower Horses. Got out of the carriage and walked some distance up the hill. It helped to develop a ravenous appetite. Sister Fried had a good big supper in waiting, and it goes without saying that justice was done it. Sister Wilson and daughter Ruth of Avalon came along to spend several days with Brother and Sister Fried and family. We all had a most blessed time in the Lord, continuously from our arrival until my departure Monday morning. Considerable interest has been developed in Fried, due in considerable measure to the tireless energy exerted by dear Brother Fried and family. May the Lord reward him and his richly. A light rain fell in set in about noon of Sunday, preventing our going out, but it rather tended to intensify our spiritual ardor. Consider these words of someone from almost 100 years ago. There is indeed spiritual ardor in his fellowship. But we know that the peace of God, although it permeates when we are meeting one with another is a wonderful thing. It is also compatible with great commotion and sorrow and pain, as well as sweet fellowship. The peace of God is not dependent, then, on our outward circumstances, but upon the proper balancing of the mind and conditions of a perfect heart. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:7. If we would know the foundation and security of this abiding place, which is able to survive the heaviest storms of life, we have only to look to the teachings and examples of our Lord and the apostles. What was it that held them so firmly in rest while they suffered? It was their faith. Faith in the love, power, and wisdom of God. They believed that what God had promised, he was able also to perform, that his righteous and benevolent plan would know no failure. Isaiah 46:9 to 11. Remember the former things long past, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is no one like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times which have not been, saying, my purpose will be established and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my purpose from a far country, truly I have spoken, truly I will bring it to pass. I have planned it, surely I will do it. The apostles believed. On the assurances of God, they rested. In him, their faith was anchored, and it mattered not how fiercely the storms raged or how they were tossed on the tempests of life, while their anchor still held fast to the throne of God. Jesus believed. The knowledge that Jesus had of the Father gave him as firm a footing for our faith in all of his purposes concerning the future. Hence, he could and did walk by faith. And that faith enabled him to overcome all the obstacles and secure the victory, even unto death. Such was enjoyed by our Lord in the midst of turmoil and confusion of his eventful earthly life. And through all of this, brethren, we too can believe. The Lord, with abounding compassion and tenderness, bestowed his parting blessing, his legacy of peace also to us. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. John 14:27. Jesus' peace was centered not in himself, but in God. By faith in his wisdom, power, and grace. Likewise, if we have the peace of God, the peace of Christ, my peace, it must be just like his. It must also be centered in God by faith. Let not your hearts be troubled. This was the part of the Lord's message to his disciples just before his crucifixion. Hiding his own sorrow, thinking of others, he comforted them. And thus set an example to all of his followers. We too should comfort our brethren as we have that opportunity. Would we have any fear walking through life if we knew that we were immortal, incapable of having any harm come to us? Of course not. And when we think about it, aren't we in such an embryo state now? We have many assurances that nothing can touch us that is not directed of the Father for our good development. Consider, brethren, we are rich, whatever our outward condition may appear, rich in the fact that our debt of sin has been paid for us, rich in the assurances of God's Word that our present experiences are all under the supervision of divine wisdom and love, and all are being overruled for our highest good. rich in joy and hope through the present trials and experiences faithfully and patiently endured. We are assured that we can have peace because God has promised it. For the new creature, peace is not attained magically. In a moment, peace is not attained in a day. It is a process. It involves coming to the Lord after recognizing our need for coming and His readiness, willingness, and ability to supply all necessary things. Blessings come through knowing and trusting in God. Blessings come through believing God. This quote from John Dryden, 1631 to 1700. They can conquer who believe they can. Some fail to get a blessing because of the lack of knowledge. Others, having the knowledge, lack the trust or the faith. Still others, the majority, enjoy a small measure of these blessings, but in proportion as they believe, they have rest. As their faith then can grow stronger, and as they learn to appreciate more fully what He has accepted, rest increases. As we continue on and learn from our experiences how true the Lord is to all His promises to us, the rest becomes more deep and more abiding in us. I appreciated a comment from Reprint 1658, 1658. The belief was at first a full belief in the message of God, but as we grow in grace and in the knowledge of God, the more firm, the more established does our faith become, and our rest is proportionately greater. Have we, brethren, entered into rest? Since knowledge is related to faith, we have another testament from Brother Bonnet, 1907. Now, quote a portion of it. We visited with several friends in the Freed House parlor before attending service and the afternoon meeting. There were 38 adults present, and I talked on the pyramid for 2¼ hours, and nobody left the room. We certainly made the talk very plain and pounded the truth into the people with vigor. They listened attentively. You know, brethren, I can't remember the last time I was in a discourse that lasted 2¼ hours and nobody walked out. I understand that in Europe, though, the discourses and just talks have a tendency to be somewhat longer. But the thirst for the truth, the desire to be with the brethren, the desire for the knowledge and for the fellowship, is something that we need to hold very close and very dear to our hearts. The rest of faith is something which the world can neither give nor take away. It brings with it peace and happiness and joy in the midst of all the shifting circumstances of the present life. To those who have entered into this rest of faith, prayers are occasions of sweet communion with God. Feastings from the Lord's bountiful table takes the place of fastings. The glorious sunlight of truth chases away the shadows of human superstition. Oh, how blessed is a rest of faith. If we all could fully enter in, then in the midst of all our trials, persecutions, sacrifices, and self-denials, there is rest and there is peace. John 8:31-32 says, Jesus therefore was saying to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And in John 8:36 also, if therefore the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Yes, brethren, we are free indeed. This is Alan M. Safour. His comment is taken from December 15, 1910. Take time to speak a loving word, for loving words are seldom heard, and it will linger in the mind and gather others of its kind, till loving words will echo where erstwhile the heart was poor and bare. Seek lowliness, be prayerful, been to freed, am freed, hope to be freed indeed. We sometimes find ourselves in situations of fear and uncertainty in the world. Gideon is an example for us. The Lord told Gideon that he would fight the Midianites. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And what was Gideon's reply? I am the least in my father's house. And what did the Lord say to his response? The Lord said, Peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die. God accepted the sacrifice that Gideon offered that day, and Gideon knew that there was no question that it would be accomplished. And Gideon also built an altar and called its name Jehovah Shalom, the peace of Jehovah, Judges 6:23 and 24. Do we sometimes, brethren, answer, but I am the least in my father's house when we have an opportunity that's afforded to us? If we would just think of Gideon, what a wonderful picture for us. We know that the Heavenly Father is with us. Who then can be against us? Whoever has received the earnest of the Spirit has something to desire, something to look forward to, something to pray for. Since the Lord has promised that peace, we should look for that peace, and we should expect that peace. If we have a measure of peace and of blessing, we should pray all the more for fullness of joy. Isaiah 57, the Lord will help me, I shall not be confounded. Another comment from the Ledger applies here. Clayton Woodworth's comment, 1912. For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. We are assured, brethren, that we shall have the victory if we trust in His strength. This gives us a rest and a peace in all of our experiences. This peace and rest is a blessing of the Holy Spirit, and as we grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord, we shall have this to comfort and strengthen us. We shall have more of the peace of God every day and be able to abide in His love. Reprint 54:32. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Psalms 46:1. Psalm 71:3, Thou art my rock and my fortress. And we are all familiar with the story of Hezekiah and Sennacherib being turned back by the hand of the Lord. Hezekiah had refused to pay a tribute despite Isaiah's words, and the city was under siege. After supplication and an appropriate amount of time, the angel of the Lord stepped in and smote the camp of the Assyrians. The lesson for us, brethren, is that divine power overrules, orders, and directs so that all things work together in harmony and His will. We see two other things in this story as well. We can see the danger of sacrificing principles for the sake of earthly peace. And we can see an example to help strengthen our faith, which in turn brings peace to our hearts. We need to keep right with God, abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. And in doing so, all things shall work together for our good. In Hezekiah's case, the enemy melted like snow at the glance of the Lord. Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Psalm 29:11. The Lord will give strength to his people, and the Lord will bless his people with peace. Psalm 50:15. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you. Brethren, we need to reinforce our waning courage with all of the special promises of divine help that the Scriptures provide in every time of need. We have these blessed assurances. We are supplied fully with the armor, if only we accept the armor and buckle it on. We have with us the constant presence of our captain, as long as we closely follow his lead. Even above the din of battle, his inspiring voice can be heard. Can you hear it? Are you quietly listening? Or are we sometimes too busy to notice his call and his direction? Can we always see him before us? If he turns to the right or the left, do we always follow or get off the path? We're going to provide a little list of scriptures for you to consider as we consider peace and in looking to the Heavenly Father for his peace. The first, Psalms 103:14. For he himself knows our frame, he is mindful that we are but dust. Psalms 103:12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Romans 4:21. And being fully assured that what he has promised, he was able also to perform. And John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. Fear not, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Luke 12:32. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Psalms 29:11. And the word strength here in large measure means courage. The Lord will give courage to his people. He encourages us in a variety of ways as we build one another up in the most holy faith. Psalms 31:24. Be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. And we are assured, brethren, that we shall be strengthened in the inner man through the Spirit of the Lord. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Our brethren, faith is the basis of our strength and of our peace. May the hope of God fill you all with joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Brethren, we indeed know all of these promises and many more, but do we digest them? Do we keep them always before us? Do we use them as our foundation? If we are truly anchored to them and do not allow ourselves to drift, the foundation of God standeth sure. His truth is our shield and our buckler. What he has promised, he is able to perform. It is a rest of heart by faith. And brethren, ambition sometimes is a good thing. If we have an ambition to please the Lord, of communicating to others the truth and the blessed opportunities for salvation and what the world will have in the kingdom, It becomes our ambition to do good instead of evil. So ambition turned along a right line, the peace of God comes to the mind and comes to the heart. John 16:33, in the world ye have tribulation, but in me ye have peace. In proportion as we see matters from the divine standpoint and appreciate the precious promises and let them inspire our hearts, we shall rejoice in those promises and our hearts will be blessed. Let us be loyal and write upon our hearts the gracious promise, the Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord's love for us is strong. The Lord is faithful forever. Psalms 117:2. Faithful is he that called you, and he will do it. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. He is faithful that promised. Hebrews 10:23. So if we then lack the strength or peace promised, it means we have either not the interest of his service closely enough at heart, or else we do not make use of the strength that he provides. The Lord will give strength unto his people. Apart from physical defects and deficiencies which are covered by the robe, anxiety on our part would have to be a lack of faith, a lack of confidence, or else ignorance of divine promises, character, and arrangement. Nothing, and I repeat, nothing can by any means hurt you, is the Master's assurance, Luke 10:19. Faith is necessary to rest. Abraham rested because he believed the promises made to him and was glad. He did not know the way by which God would bring about the blessing, but he had the promise confirmed by his oath. All can have the same rest that Abraham had. According to our faith, it will be unto us. If we have much faith, we will have much rest. If we have little faith, we will have little rest. We enter into a deeper and more intelligent rest if we avail ourselves of the helps which the Lord has provided. How do we attain more peace? And recalling Brother Martin's answer, I believe, he had that personal relationship, and we must get and maintain that personal relationship in order to attain more peace. We must believe. Comment from Brother Hettenbaum. I think it's one more. There you go. We have had a delightful and soul-refreshing time talking about the good things that our dear Heavenly Father has provided for us in the near future. Now, taken from that comment, would you think that Brother Hettenbaum believed the promises? Did he believe what he expected or what he was told would happen in Scripture was actually going to occur? Does he sound unsure of himself? I think he's very sure of himself. In our relationship to God, we have come to know and trust his love and faithfulness. There is a peace in the Lord that is born of faith in him and his promises. There's also a direct relationship between the Holy Spirit and peace. As we grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord and in the knowledge of the truth, we shall have this to comfort and strengthen us, and we shall thus have more of the peace of God each day. Peace is dependent also on full obedience. Our peace is proportionate to our constancy, our staying qualities. No one can retain this peace of God whose mind is not stayed or fixed on God. Job 34:29. When he giveth quietness, who then can make trouble? The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? No one can make the church trouble without divine permission. We recognize that there is a certain quietness of heart that all the Lord's saints may enjoy, and we realize this when he even permits trouble. Paul said, "We who have entered into, who have believed, do enter into rest." We enter into rest by coming into an attitude where we can believe and exercise entire trust in God. What though my joys and comfort die, the Lord my Savior liveth. What though the darkness gather round, songs in the night he giveth. No storm can shake my inmost calm, while to that refuge clinging, since Christ is Lord of heaven and earth, how can I keep from singing? We must keep our mind fixed on God. This is a small excerpt from 1908 from H. Clay Rockwell. Quote, "May our Heavenly Father's blessing of peace and joy be multiplied to this household. The zeal and love for the truth displayed by these dear ones of this place is inspiring. Brethren, would you want to inspire your brethren? I think we would." Pastor Russell also visited here and left a note. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. Consider the truth, brethren. Consider what we share together. Consider the relationships, the caring, the love between us. Blessed be the tie that binds. In all of these comments, brethren, we find a common thread of peace. Peace in the fellowship of kindred minds. Peace in the leaning on the promises of God. Peace in the binding of our hearts together in Christian love. Peace in the zeal for the activity of the truth. Peace, brethren, in believing God. I'll close with a short poem. May thy will, not mine, be done. May thy will and mine be one. Peace I ask, but peace must be, Lord, in being one with thee. May the Lord add his blessing.
Thank you, Brother Al, very much for that lovely service and the peace of God, certainly one that's always timely to us as Christians. And we very much appreciated your thoughts and also sharing thoughts with the saints of the past on this subject. May it bear us well in the days ahead. Brother Al, what was your choice of closing hymn? 188. We'll remain seated for all the verses. Brother Allen will close with a word of prayer, and I'll just have one or two announcements to follow afterwards. Hymn number 188.
our kind, most gracious, and loving Heavenly Father. We come now, dear Lord, to thy hallowed throne of grace, thankful that we have this opportunity for convention, for fellowship, to learn of thee and to grow more close to thee. And Heavenly Father, as we walk each day in the footsteps of thy dear Son Jesus, we pray that we'd be more obedient to thy word, that we would look to thee for every direction. And we do thank you, Lord, for thy many blessings. We ask, Lord, each day also, as we fall short of what we should be, that you would overrule and forgive, as we indeed, Heavenly Father, pick ourselves up and again strive to be obedient and to do thy will with our whole heart. We do thank you, Lord, and do pray for thy peace and thy joy, as indeed we can only find it under the shadow of thy wing. And all of these things we ask and give thanks in Jesus' most precious name. Amen.